Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
Dan Wolf is my next guest. Dan has served in Pasco County, Florida for more than 20 years. During this time, he has held roles as a teacher, instructional coach, and administrator. He is currently an assistant principal at Sunray Elementary. He was selected as Pasco County's District Teacher of the Year in the 2011-2012 school year. He is part of the district's Social Emotional Learning Committee that has recently established pre-K through grade 12 SEL standards. Over the past 2 years, Dan has written a blog called Becoming the Change, formerly called Our Moral Compass, which focuses on a different quote each day and how we can best apply it towards becoming the change through our own moral compass in the five areas in SEL. During his spare time, Dan enjoys spending time reading, listening to podcasts, and going to Disney with his wife and daughter. We'll talk a little bit more about his book during the podcast, which is around the time of recording, should be out very soon. Welcome to the podcast, Dan.
Oh, thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Well, tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to pull out.
All right. Well, I actually can give you two different scenarios. One, when I was early on in my educational career, when I was first an administrator. So it was back in around 2009. I actually was an administrator for about 4 years at an elementary school, two of them, in fact. And my daughter at the time was very young, and one of the things with a lot of night events, different things like that, the place where I worked and everything was much further away than where we lived. And so by the time I would get home, she'd either already be in bed. I was missing a lot of those moments that you can never really get back. And what I had to go ahead and do was decide for me, as much as this was the career path I knew I wanted to go, what was going to be more important. And I came to, because it was also putting a lot of pressure on my wife and everything else like that. And I was just missing those moments. And so I decided after a lot of thinking and everything to, and sometimes in life, you have to take a step back in order to move forward. And that's what I did. And I stepped down as an administrator. And it was a very hard decision, emotional. I actually had to send an email to the staff and everything because it was during the summer. So I can't even imagine if I had to go back in time and do it face to face, if I would have been able to do it. So I did that. But what I found out through that journey is everything happens for a reason. I became an instructional coach in mathematics, and then was honored and selected as Pasco County's Teacher of the Year in 2011, 2012. Never in a million years would have ever thought something like that. And that led to me becoming a regional specialist for the district K-12, serving 18 Title I schools and being able to really continue to hone in and adapt my leadership style. As fate would have it, in 2016, it just the stars seemed to align, and the school that I had previously left had an opening for an AP position. And the person that I worked with and everything, we always talked about working together. Mm-hmm. And it just happened. And I was able to surprise a lot of the staff and everything that that was there. They actually, a lot of them were still there from the first time I was there. So it was just great. And it really kind of helped come full circle. So that was definitely an early on in the trench, out of the trenches moment for sure. And then most recently, this past, actually the end of March, our area superintendent had approached me and said, Dan, with your SEL background and also you being a veteran leader, we need you at another school, another Title I school, because they are in need of an assistant principal. So in about 2 weeks, you need to head over there. And of course, it's right around testing and everything else, but I'm always one that will do whatever is best, you know, and whatever I'm asked to go ahead and do. So I was able to wrap things up at my one school and get acquainted and learn, again, different leadership styles, things like that in my new school. And that's where I'm currently finishing out the year and looking forward to starting off fresh in the 22-23 school year coming up.
Yeah, and that's quite a story of how you kind of left that position and learned so much. And, you know, you never would have thought you would have been Teacher of the Year had you not left the classroom, right? And then gone back, you know, and then gone back and, you know, taken more time to be in the classroom and all this. And now you're, you know, learning as you go in this new position that you've transitioned to. So, yeah, I think everything that we do, even though it might seem hard at the time and like a trench at the time, helps us in, you know, what we're, you know, we don't know, we're preparing for something else, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what I also learned was now being a veteran administrator and everything, having those other roles too, I always try to pride myself in looking at it through the lens of others. And having been a classroom teacher, a math coach, a working at district, no matter who, and being an administrator, no matter who I'm working with, I've held at least a position similar to what they have, or, you know, whoever I'm working with. And I think I'm able to understand them that much more. And I know where they're coming from and be able to problem solve that way.
Yeah, that's such an advantage to have as an assistant principal, because, you know, you've been in these multiple roles. You haven't just taught in one grade level for a couple of years like a lot of them have. So, definitely an advantage. And now in your district, you're in a principal prep program. So talk to me a little bit about kind of what they require for that program and what are some tasks that you're focusing on for the upcoming school year in the program.
Sure. Well, the first thing is to first get accepted into the programs. That was the first step. And of course, all this happened while I was also transitioning between one school and another. Everything just happened at fall into place all at once. And yeah. I said, there's no time like the present. So I just jumped in. And so what I had to do was first, we have leadership competencies within our state and everything. So I had to write to those based on the experiences that I've had, because you at least have to be a minimum of 3 years as an administrator, as an assistant principal. And then once you pass that part, you then go into another part of the program before you get in, where you actually have a group task where you're with other aspiring principals that you go ahead and collaborate on. You don't know what the task is till you get there. And then you present in front of other principals from elementary, middle, and high. And then you also have your own presentation that you of what your goal is going to be if you were to, you know, and even despite if I made it in or not, it was going to be my goal regardless. For the new school at Sunray that, you know, I was going to be trying to implement what's called PBIS, which is Positive Behavioral Intervention System. So I had to do a presentation on that and then speak to questions that were asked of me, not only about the presentation, but just my leadership philosophy and everything. And then also had to be challenged also with what's called an inbox task, where you get like 20 different different things you have to prioritize in a certain amount of time and on level of importance based on needs and everything else. So through all that, once you get into that, then you get into the actual preparing new principals program, which I'm happy to say I'm a part of. So that's what I'll be doing over this next year, where I'll have not only my own principal that at my school, but I'll have a mentoring principal, an area superintendent, and then also just some district personnel to help guide me to making sure that I have all the tricks of the trade. And I know there's going to be more even when I'm in, you know, in that role one day. So, and I know the biggest thing that they had said is they had said, Dan, you've been an administrator for 11 years. Why now? And I told them, because it's time, because I'm the one that's ready to go ahead. People have always said, Dan, we'd love for you to go. It would be great if you became a principal, we'd follow you and everything, but I had to be ready. And that's what I told him. I said, now I'm ready. So.
And it's so great that your district has this. I've heard of leadership pipelines and things like that, but to actually have something where one thing is competitive to get in, but also you have the mentor principal, area superintendent, and then you're focusing on this task. It's definitely getting people ready for the job, but you told me in the pre-chat doesn't necessarily guarantee a position in the district, but it could help you maybe if you're applying outside the district, hypothetically, at a later time. This is something good to put on your resume as well, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, every little bit helps. I believe every experience, even if you don't make it into whatever that next round or whatever, it's going to make you better in the long run. And I think it's all about perspective. It's how you look at things. And I always try to look at things as like a half glass full type of person.
Yeah.
Because what's the sense of looking at it as half empty? It's not going to get you anywhere.
No, correct. So I mentioned a little bit in the bio. So you have an upcoming book coming out. As of recording, it should be out next week. It's called Becoming the Change, 5 Essential Elements to Being Your Best Self. Talk me a little bit through writing the manuscript and reaching out to publishers, and then now getting it published.
Okay, so and how this book came to be? I first started, I'm a big advocate for social emotional learning because mm-hmm. I believe in kind of the Maslow before Bloom. We always mm-hmm. talk about getting the Bloom and test scores and everything else. But like I used to tell my students and my own child too, you're more than a test score, you're a person. And I would trade everything in the world for, you know, my daughter or anybody else to just be a great human being over, mm-hmm. you know, being in the top tier of scoring on a test or whatever. But with this, what I decided to do when I was a part of the Social Emotional Learning District Committee, where we created pre-K through 12 standards, I was just sitting there and I just, and I'm a big quote person, and I just, I've read a lot of different ones about our moral compass. And I said, well, that's mm-hmm. essentially, in my mind, is what those five areas of social emotional learning are: self-awareness, self-management, relationship skills, responsible decision-making, and social awareness. All those tie into each other. And it's kind of what guides us through life and everything. And, you know, all of us have it. We just might not always, you know, tap into it. So I said, what I decided to do was I first started writing a blog. As I said before, I'm a big fan of quotes, famous quotes. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I was looking at different quotes and then trying to relate them to not only our moral compass, but then also those five areas and what it means to me. Because mm-hmm. many times when you look at quotes and things, what you may have thought the quote was, you might have read it 10 years ago. It meant something back then, but 10 years from now, or even today, it means totally different. Mm-hmm. So I just wrote it from my perspective and then asked the audience, the reader, what it meant to them. From there, and then again, this all started about December 2019. Mm-hmm. By February 2020, I decided to just go ahead and record those readings as like a podcast. So they could, again, if they're on the go or whatever else, they could read it. Great. Okay. If not, and I just would put it out on the different platforms. And then always back in my mind, I wanted to write a book. Well, then the pandemic hit. And so when I was not engaged in being online or whatever for my school and everything, I decided to go ahead and write that book. Mm-hmm. Also incorporating some of my blogs and things like that, that I'd written previously. And originally it was called Our Moral Compass. And I even had these inserts of the blogs as called compass checks, where they're okay. just different points throughout to kind of get the reader to think about other things, kind of like a break in the action. Is it, you know, kind of like a commercial within the book, I guess is the best way I could mm-hmm. say it. And then I was able to complete the book. And then it became to trying to get it published, which became definitely, you know, you always talk about perseverance and grit. And that was just something that I just knew. I said, I just needed to get it out there and get a chance.
Yeah.
I'd write the different, you know, query letters, all the things, do all the research and what I needed to do. I had over 40 different rejections, but I was not going to give up. And finally, everything kind of came to a point where Road to Awesome I spoke with them and they were very interested in the book and everything. And they had even said, you know, they gave suggestions and things about possibly a title change, because when you think of moral compass and everything, mm-hmm. one of the things I wasn't, you know, that I didn't want to come across was everybody has their own moral compass, but I would never come out to say, oh, I think it should be this way or that way. That's for somebody else to decide. So I tried to think of a title change and I said, well, how about Becoming the Change? I always liked Gandhi's "Be the Change You Wish to See in the World." So I thought about things, and I thought, and on the image of the cover of my of the book and everything is of a butterfly. And I just, what you do is you evolve, over time as human beings and things. And I think of like from a caterpillar to a butterfly, mm-hmm. we're constantly mm-hmm. evolving to being our best self. So I said, how about that as an image? And then also not losing the compass idea, but having at the center of the compass being self-awareness And then the four cardinal directions being the other four areas of social emotional learning. Mm-hmm. And that's where everything kind of came to be within there. And then, like I said, Road to Awesome took a chance on me, which I'm eternally grateful for. And one of the features of the book too is, I don't know if you remember the Choose Your Own Adventure books from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, mm-hmm. where you get to a certain page and you had to choose two different pathways. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, in my book, there's no dragon or anything, no fire-breathing dragon or anything. What it is essentially is, so when you finish, you go ahead and you take a questionnaire, your own self-assessment, in the five areas to see where your strengths are and what are areas that you improve in. And the beauty behind the assessment is everything, again, is very similar to the quotes and everything. You can take it right now at this point in your life, whatever, whether you're newly married, you're a first-time parent, beginning educator, whatever, mm-hmm. and then take it again in 6 months, a year, 5 years, whatever. And I'm sure you're going to be in a different spot. You might be stronger in some areas. You might have gone down, any of those kinds of things. And within each of the chapters is focused on each of those different elements within there. So you, when you read self-awareness, you read all the different things of how to, based on that questionnaire or, that survey, you go ahead and you're able to go ahead and answer, it kind of gives you guide, it gives you a script, basically a guide, a guidebook to how to improve in that area. Then when you get to the end of the book, it goes ahead and says, okay, now you have five different pathways. You can either choose mm-hmm. whichever way you want to go. You can jump to the social awareness section, any section of the book. You could reread the section you just finished, whatever pathway it sets you on. And that's the premise of the book. So it's a book that can be read time and time again as you continue to evolving to becoming your best self.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely an interactive type book.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. You can find out more at teachbetter.com/podcasts. Now let's get back to the episode.
Like you said, also people can look at again in a couple years and see how they've changed and how they evolve. And I'm definitely looking forward to reading it. And as you said, this is going to come out Memorial Day weekend.
Yep, that's the goal. And okay. It's anywhere books are sold, Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, you name it. And I'll definitely let you know when it's officially out. I'll make sure mm-hmm. to my big platform for myself is Twitter. I mean, I'll definitely make sure to tag you and everything on it too, as soon as it gets released. And again, it's my main thing is as long as it helps change one person's life, that means the world to me. That's all that matters is just, mm-hmm. Like my Twitter handle is serve, lead, inspire, and it's serve without the E. I just couldn't fit them all. I know how to spell being an educator. I just know I couldn't fit it all. So I just want to clarify that right there. But definitely, that's what I live by every day is to mm-hmm. serve, lead, and inspire. That's as an educator, all those things making that impact. And that's what I hope that this book does too, is does those three things as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you mentioned a little bit about your podcast and you said right now you're it's just you talking and you're kind of going into what you've written for your blogs. But you said maybe eventually you'll have on guests to talk about SEL. So what is your kind of your vision about evolving the podcast maybe after the book has been out for a little while?
Well, what I'm hoping to go ahead and do is in addition to still doing like the readings and everything is having different guests on, and it could be educators, it could be really anybody, and how they are becoming the change in whatever their profession is, how they're making the world a better place. Mm-hmm. And just because there's so much negativity out there. I mean, if you pay attention to the news and different parts of social media and things like that, and that's where you have to be able to put blinders on too and look for the good because it's there too. Yeah. And that's what the premise would be if I were to have guests and different things. I mean, obviously I'd love for them to have also read the book and be, I'm all about, as an educator being vulnerable. I always tell people what my weaknesses are, and what I need to improve upon. And I'd love for the guests to be vulnerable with me and be able to say, well, these were my strengths or these are my different areas. And this is how I'm working on things. Mm-hmm. And in either my profession, it doesn't even have to be just a profession. It could be even just personally outside of, because sometimes in these areas that we're talking about, you could be stronger at work than you are at home or vice versa, depending on the situation. And I think that's the beauty behind it too, is again, it's not a one size fits all. It just is something that it's part of your lifestyle. It's part of who you are.
And yeah, I think just wanting to impact people through your book, those assessments in your book, and through what you're putting out there in your podcast is so inspiring. Like you said, that's part of your Twitter handle. And talk to me about your leadership perspective in terms of those principles: serve, lead, and inspire.
Well, absolutely. So first and foremost is the servant part of it. It says servant leadership. And that's just when I talked about earlier about looking at it through the lens of others. I mean, when I left my previous school, one of my teachers gave me a magnifying lens and she put a note saying, Dan, this is just because you never forgot what it's like to look at it through other people's perspectives, through other people's eyes. And I actually have that on, I actually have it on a corkboard in my new office now as a daily reminder. So I'm looking at those things. And I always like that Maya Angelou quote about how it's important how we make people feel. And and that's, and to me, that's we people talk about legacy and things like that. And to me, legacy is not about money or anything else like that. It's just, have I left this, when I leave this world one day, have I left it in a, as a better place? And that's all that I could ever ask for. So that's the serve part, is the needs of my staff, the needs of the people around me, the kids that I serve at the schools that I'm at, that comes first and foremost. And then that's where it leads right into lead. Just being able to, again, not be, be that guide on the side is the way that I kind of look at with the leadership part of it. I try to be a little bit, I guess, like the Jiminy Cricket of the 21st century in a way. You know how we say, let your conscience be your guide. It's saying, let your compass be your guide, meaning your moral compass, whatever that is, you know, and just trying to be their best self. Because to me, when you're leading, you're also making sure that you're trying to develop those leaders as well, because it doesn't do any good to just be leading all the way up front. I like to lead from behind also, to be able to have those around me really build up their leadership chops, so to speak. And then the last part is inspire. And it could be inspiring with words, with messages. During the pandemic, I would, because I used to read quotes on the morning news. And since we didn't have that anymore, what I did is I went to social media and I recorded myself quotes, positive messages from the day, from like John Gordon's book and things like that. And that really helped when I put it out on Twitter and LinkedIn or any of those things. It really, I'd get feedback from other leaders and everything, that it just inspired them on their way to work. And again, that's all that mattered. It didn't matter about followers or likes or whatever. It's like, hey, if you want to listen to it, great. If you don't, that's okay too. You know, it's going to inspire somebody. So that's where the inspiration comes through. And I even have teachers asking me if I'm going to be doing that at my new school. And I said, well, once we start off the year, I'll go ahead and do that. But I, you know, just to start off fresh, you know, but that's having those principles and reminding myself, it's even part of my alarm. When I wake up, I'll see the message when the alarm goes off: serve, lead, inspire, because it just reminds me of that, you know, it starts off my day.
Yeah. And that's a great way to just have that in place, like just to start your day and remind people on the way to work, like you said, these quotes on social media, definitely worth a follow for those who like just seeing those quotes in the morning. So we've talked so much about just your journey transitioning back from leadership into the classroom and coaching roles, and your book and podcast and your leadership perspective. Out of everything we talked about on the podcast today, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
I think with anything in life, there's two quotes that I live by, and I have to give credit to one of my professors for both, but they've stuck with me for so many years now, almost 30 years. And one of them, if it's to be, it's up to me. And I even use that with my students. And I would tell them, in life, no one's ever going to hand anything to you on a silver platter and say, here you go, here's all your hopes and dreams. You have to go out and get it. you can only rely on yourself. You can only control yourself. The other one is as a leader and everything, it's a poor frog who doesn't praise its own pond. And with that one, it's just always for never to forget to be grateful for the people that are around you, because it's really that core people that are around you that they're the ones that make you you and, mm-hmm. and are able to provide that why. And it's mm-hmm. not just coworkers, it's the kids, it's all different facets, it's family. That's your why you do what you do every day. And you just have to praise them. And just I think the biggest thing is don't forget where you come from. Yeah. I would always tell my staff, and you know, I said, yes, I was a teacher, but sometimes administrators forget what it's like to be in the classroom. They just forget. And I always would tell them, and I still tell them to this day, I need you to call me out mm-hmm. if I forget what mm-hmm. it's like to be a coach, or even when I become a principal. I love my AP to tell me, Dan, you're forgetting that. All these other factors, you know, because it's a good wake up call, you know, because, you know, you want to make sure you try to be mindful, but life just happens. And I just think if they let you know that, and they know it's okay to let you know, it just opens that floodgate of trust and empathy, I think, and that mm-hmm. bond, I think, that's needed so much in schools today.
Yeah, it's so inspiring to have quotes that you know, constantly reminding you of, kind of not forgetting those around you and having gratitude. Well, where can people connect with you and find you online?
Okay, well, like I said, my best place is probably Twitter. And that, again, the handle's at Serve, Lead, and Inspire. I'm also on LinkedIn, Dan Wolf, and you look at Pasco County Schools. I'm sure I'll pop up somewhere within there. Those are my two platforms within there. And then on Spotify or Apple Podcasts is where the recordings go and everything. And then WordPress is where the blog is, but I also share the blog out through LinkedIn and Twitter simultaneously when I go ahead and send that out in the mornings and things. So.
Great. I'll make sure to link those in the show notes. Well, thank you so much for being my guest on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. It was a pleasure having you on.
Oh, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.